Morning. Today's daf in Nida's Mem Beis. We are starting today on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to start back with Tana Rabbanan and Polata. Sheikh Vazer is going to be our topic of discussion over the course of this morning. The Gemara is going to do a lot of analysis regarding a woman's Polata Sheikh Vazer. Just a couple of facts on the ground before we start with the Gemara. So Polata Sheikh Vazer means that obviously Sheikh Vazer is not generated by her. It's obviously inserted by a man during Tashmish. Husband and wife are together. It's a mitzvah for a husband and wife to be together. And yet, it's kind of odd, but he becomes tummy, she becomes tamea. The pasuk says, I'm in Parshas Mitzara, the end of the parsha. The vishki seitzei meona shech vazer v'rachas b'mayim. It's called besara v'tamei ad arev. So if the man has zera coming out of him, he has a discharge of zera. So he's tummy. In other words, regardless of what the circumstances are, and that we're talking here about the best of circumstances where it's husband and wife, and obviously not only is it muteris, it's muter, but it's a mitzvah. But still, in other words, he becomes tummy. V'cholbege v'cholor asher yeh alav shech v'zera v'chubas b'mayim v'tamei ad arev. And as far as the actual zera itself is concerned, so the zera is an avatuma. The pasuk describes that if the falls on to either a beged or a hide, it's going to be tummy. You have to tov in the mikvah, and it's tummy at Arif, right? You need tefillah and herav shemesh. And then the next pasuk, the isha, asher yishkav isha osa shechvat zara, and if a woman has relations with a man, v'rachsu b'mayim v'tam u'ad Arif, so she also is going to require tefillah just for having tashmish with her husband. And Rashi writes in Chumash, right? Right now, just basics, right? Chumash, Rashi. Rashi writes in Chumash, V'rachsu b'mayim, this is Pasuk Yud Ches. This is all Perek Tezvav, just so you can look it up. Rashi writes, V'rachsu b'mayim, Gzeres Melechi, Shetetame Isha Bebiya. Rashi writes that, don't try to figure this out. Meaning, oh, I know, I get it. It's because the Zera is inside of her, that's why she's Tamea. Rashi says, no, that's not it. V'ena tamishim nogea b'shech v'zera, Sharei maga b'sestarimi. As far as her contact with the Zera, that's an interior contact, that's an internal contact, and you're going to see that's a big part of today's daf. And Rashi writes, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that she had relations with her husband. So husband and wife have relations, so albeit it's a mitzvah, nevertheless, the result is tuma. And so as consequently, what? So that means that if they want to go into the Beis HaMikdash, if they want to eat karbanos, so that means that they have to, at least for the day before, abstain. Because resolution of the tumah requires that they, both of them, tov in the mikvah, both experience Erev Shemesh. Okay, that's the tumah tahara of a man and woman having relations. We are now going next step, which is as follows. Our Gemara today is going to be revolving itself around the following. So once the zera is deposited into her, so now, aside from the fact that the active bee itself is a source of tumah, but now she's going to be leaking the zera over the course of the next number of days. So every time she is going to expel the zera that was inserted in her, she's also going to be tamea. Now why? So that's most of today's daf in terms of why that should be. But that's where we are headed to towards today. That's our discussion over today. And let's begin. Tana Rabbanan, we're going to start. We did this a little bit yesterday, but we're going to start back here at the Braisa. It is on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. It's about a quarter of the way up from the bottom of the Amud. It's right after the word Dash. We begin this morning with a Braisa. Bif Sarah Malamit Shemetam A, Bif Nimke Bechutz. So the pasuk over here that we're describing is talking about her being a Nida. And as we already discussed time and again, since the beginning of the Masechta, when is she a Nida? When blood is discharged from her uterus into her canal. Even though her canal is not an exposed area, obviously it's a concealed area, but nevertheless, the halacha of her becoming a Nida is mibifnim kebechutz, that the moment the blood makes contact with the interior of her body, she is tamea. V'ein le'ala Nida. Now that's true as far as a Nida is concerned, zava minayin. How do I also know that the same halacha is true regarding a zava? A woman during her yamei ziva, also, blood discharging from the uterus into her canal. What's the difference between Nida and Zava? The days. In other words, the Nida are Yemei Nida. That's the 7 days of Nida. The Zava is Yemei Zava. The 11 days afterwards. We've discussed this idea time and again. How do I know that the same halacha is true regarding a Zava? So Tam Alamra, Zova, Bivsara. So the additional words in the Pasuk is not only limited to the halacha of Nida, but Zava as well. Poleta Shech Vazara Minayin. Now, how do I know Poleta Shech Vazara? So now we are at the point here of, after Zera was deposited in her by a man, now the Zera is coming out of her. So how do I know? Tamalomer Yihyeh. So the extra yia tells me that the same thing is true regarding polenta shechva zera, that when it makes contact with the interior of her body, with the canal, she will be tamea. Now Rabbi Shimon Amar Dai Kabbala Ma Ba'olai Nematame Ashetetei Tuma Lachutz Afiyena Matame Ashetetei Tuma Lachutz. Now on this point, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he's of the opinion of he's of the following opinion. When a man has a discharge of shechva zera, so when does a man become tamei? So the answer is when it exits his body. This is a given. That's an undisputed point. So when the zera is inside of him, so he is not yet tamei. Even as the zera is emerging, he's not yet tamei until it actually exits his body. We know this from the Mishnah that we saw not yesterday's daf, but two dafim ago, right? The Mishnah gives a scenario of a man who's eating truma. And he feels that he's going to have a discharge. So if somehow he can suspend himself from having a discharge to be able to eat the truma, he should do so. Because, says the Mishnah, he's not tummy until it actually emerges. Rabbi Shimon says, fine. So now, as far as the zera leaving the man is concerned, we know, it's a given, that he's not going to be tummy until it leaves his body. So when the woman expels the zera, so it's going to be the same, that she is not going to be tummy until it actually exits her body. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And we are at Kan Divrei HaBraisa, that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara now goes ahead and discusses. I just lost my spot. Rabbi Shimon Amar Dai Kabbala. Ma Ba'olai Nematame. Okay, Afi Nematame Ashetetei Tuma Lachutz. V'Savar Rabbi Shimon Dai Kabbala. Now the Gemara pushes back. Is this really Rabbi Shimon's position? Why don't we learn the following Braisa together? V'Atanya V'Rachsu B'Mayim V'Tim O Ad Ha'arev. That you go to the mikvah and you're tummy until the evening. This pasuk that we just quoted, and we just read it in the beginning of Shir today. So what is it coming to teach us? Are we talking about nogeya b'shichva zera, contact with shichva zera? That already is articulated in the pasuk below. Oish. So we know that obviously where the zera is currently deposited, it is considered a vasa starim. It's a concealed area. And we know that concealed areas do not transmit tumma. So elish gzeres hakasav hu. So the brisa says gzeres hakasav. Okay, that's the brisa. Now, the brisa open up with Amar Rabbi Shimon. So the brisa sounds like, what is it saying? That gzeres hakasav, that the zera is going to be metame her, even while it's interior. That goes against what the previous brisa. The previous braisa tells us that according to Rabbi Shimon, shechva zera, a woman being polate shechva zera, is only tamea when the zera actually emerges out of her. So we have what seemingly is a stira between the first braisa and the second braisa. Lokasha kambe meshameshes kambe polates. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. We're misunderstanding the second braisa. Second braisa was talking about the tumah as a result of tashmish. The first braisa was talking about the tumah as a result of the discharge of the zera. So poletas typically dashimsha deshimsha. So the Gemara says, well, if she's poletas zera, that of course means that the zera was deposited in her, which of course means that there was tashmish. So you're talking about the tumah as a result of poletas, but by definition, poletas zera obviously means that there was tashmish. So b'shetav l'shimusha. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Bryce's point is still a salient point, because she had tashmish with her husband and she toveled in the mikvah in order to resolve the Tumas Tashmish. Fine. And then afterwards, she's Poleta Shechva. She's Poleta Zera. That's what the Bryce is describing, and that's why the Bryce now is making a salient point. That despite the fact that her Tumma for Tashmish has been resolved, nevertheless, there's still going to be a Tumma of discharging, expelling the Zera. So, Lemeim or the Meshesh is Betumas Erev Sagila. The Gemara says, now, you're telling me that the Tumma of Tashmish is going to be resolved by the evening. Meaning, she told us in the mikvah, her of Shemesh. That's all you need. The Gemara says, is that true? The Rava has a memra, and he says that every time a woman has relations with her husband, so that bans her, that bars her from eating truma for the next 3 days. So and with an explanation, she have shalah shalot tiflot, because it's going to be impossible for her not to expel zera over the course of the next 3 days. Now, does that mean that zera is expelled for the next 3 days, not after the next 3 days? So as we already said many times, and we get to say it again right now, it could be that the zera is going to be expelled next 4 days, 5 days. It just happens to be that the zera that's metameher is only zera with potency. And we have a mesorah, we have a tradition, that zera is no longer potent after 3 days. So whatever she discharges after 3 days, it's just simply not going to be a source of tumah. But meanwhile, says Rava, a woman having relations with her husband cannot be eating truma for the next 3 days because she's paletta shechazera. So what bothers the Gemara now is that she had tashmish with her husband, and the Gemara says she resolved her tumas tashmish. What do you mean resolved her tumas tashmish? She's going to have to wait 3 days. So hach b'maiskin and she'd bila b'mita. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara is going to give a very technical and pragmatic answer in terms of when can resolution of tuma after relations with her husband be done in 1 day, and when is there going to be required? When is there a 3 day requirement? So the Gemara says that if, let's say, she tovled while she was in the bed, meaning she had tashmish with her husband. I know it's a very unusual scenario. She had tashmish with her husband, and without having to get up, so she remains in bed. Therefore, the force of gravity is not going to be pulling down the zera, and she tovels while she's in the bed. So the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara.
She crawls.
The Gemara is just giving us at least a scenario, a hechitimsa, in which we can try to resolve these two. Mechlal dechikam Rava Dazlai bekara v'tavla. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what you're telling me now, that Rav is talking about a scenario where she gets up and walks around. Meaning if she's stationary in her bed, post-tashmish with her husband, so therefore toveling in the mikvah will be an immediate resolution. I say immediate. I mean by the end of that day, Harif Shemesh, because the Zerah is not going to come out. And good. That's the Braisa, right? Unusual. To say the least, I know. But fine. But in other words, that's one. And as far as Rav is concerned, he's talking about when she's walking around. So the Gemara says, okay, I still don't buy this answer, says the Gemara. Why? So Rav is now talking about a case where she gets up and she walks around. So Dilma Bahadi Takazla Shadisa. So now she's a motion. And so what? And so the Zera now is in a position where gravity is going to pull down at it, and the woman's walking. And so there are now a lot of good reasons to suggest that all the Zera came out. Now, v'chitem adil mishtayer. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not definitive. It doesn't have to be that all the Zera came out. It's just a possibility. And there's also a possibility that some of the Zera remained inside of her. The Gemara says, that's all fine, but ihachi chayshinan shemen ishtar mibayilei. Look at the language of Rava. It really doesn't match what we're suggesting. Because what we're suggesting is a possibility. That's not what Rava said. You look back at Rava and read it again. Meshamesh is called Shosh Yamim. I'm going back to the bottom of the previous Amud. Meshamesh is called Shosh Yamim. Masur lachob truma. She efshirla shalot tiflot. Rava is saying it definitively. She is going to be leaking for the next 3 days. I know this as an absolute. And now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. She has tashmish with her husband. She then gets up. She walks around. Here's what we know. All of it could have expelled immediately. Some of it could have remained. Some of it could come out later. The language should be chayshinan shemen ishtayer. The language should be, here, we're suspicious of the following. The language of Rava is efshar. Where is he getting this definitive language from? So alala Rava namishit bila b'mita. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to go back to our ukimta, which I see everyone really appreciated. We're going to go back to the ukimta, the circumstantial scenario of she was toveling while she was in the bed. So in one hand, we are going to say that it creates immediate resolution. On the other hand, we're going to say it doesn't create immediate resolution. So, and as far as resolving, so it depends on whether she remains stationary lying face up or she remains stationary lying face down. So the Gemara says that's the distinction between them. And if she's lying stationary face up, so that means to say that the Zera is going to remain in her. And that means to say that the only tumma that she's going to have to resolve now is just tashmish with her husband. Fine. Toveling in the mikvah, waiting till Harav Shemesh, and that tumma will be resolved. If she faces down, so that is going to be a scenario in which the Zera now will be coming out. But clearly not in a strong flow. But in other words, it'll come out steadily over the next number of days. And that's what Rav is describing. And Virava akrai kai, v'hachi kamar, and as far as Rav is concerned, he's saying this is pshat in the pasuk. Kikas rachman v'rachsu b'mayim v'tamo ara ara v'shena metapeches. Look, the Torah says that after she has relations with her husband, she tovels in the mikvah, and that night the tumah is resolved. So now Rav is telling us, okay, It's unbelievable pshat in the Torah that yes, that's true, but only in the scenario where she tovos while still remaining in bed, stationary, and so therefore the zera does not come out of her, and so therefore the only tumah that needs to be resolved is the tumah of tashmish shemita. But if she is not stationary in bed, even if she remains in bed, but she's mitapech, she turns over, the zera is going to come out of her at a steady rate, which means now that she will be banned from eating truma for the next 3 days because she's going to be poletet shechva zera over the next 3 days. Admittedly, in other words, now we started off this morning by reading Pesukim in the Torah, so admittedly now it is a serious limitation. I'm making an obvious point. It's a serious limitation of the application of the Torah that a woman has relations with her husband, and now the Torah says she tovels and she and Harav Shemesh, and that's all you need. And now with the Gemara that we just learned together, it has been extraordinarily limited, but if you think about it, it makes sense, meaning she is Poletet Shechva Zera. That's true. And every time the Zera is expelled out of her, she's going to be Tameya. That's true. So you have to say something, meaning it can't be that Harav Shemesh and immediately the day after she had relations and she'll be fine. What about the Zera? Okay, so now with our Gemara, so we have limited the Pasuk to an extraordinarily limited circumstance. Yes. That's what. There's Gemara, Mishnah Shabbos.
Right.
That
is Hapaileta if she is. Now, the way it's, we just learned here is Hapaileta, everybody, it should be that Ish is to me the Gimel Yom Achat Tashmish.
Right. But why? Because of the Plata. Right. Right.
That is the because she might. If she is, she's to me.
Agreed.
That's right. So what
this Mishnah
argues on
that? No. What do you mean? First of all, the Mishnah, what do you mean? When you say Mishnah, you mean the Braisa? Okay, but and Rav is telling us that Pshat now is that if we know there's no Plata, and again the circumstance is really limited, where she's in her Mita, she hasn't moved since the Tashmish, she hasn't even turned over, that's it, that's Pshat. And that way we know there's no Plata. And now the only Tumah is Tumah Tashmish with her husband. And fine, and that you tov on the mikvah and you have Erev Shemesh.
With a bed.
Okay. Following question was asked from Abaye. So the Gemara says as follows. We've seen versions of this question before, but the Gemara here is asking it in a really straightforward manner. This zera that comes out of a woman, so obviously it was not internally generated, right? Dam is internally generated. But the zera that went inside of her was not internally generated. It was deposited by a man. And now it comes out of her, and we know that she becomes Tamea when it comes out of her. Those are all givens. Question now becomes as follows. Is it the pshat that she's having a discharge of that zera? Even though when we normally talk about discharge, we talk about fluids that are internally generated. So do we say that this is a discharge? Well, the Gemara's terminology is that she a roa, or no? Or the other option is that she's a nogas. That the tumah that is the tumah that results from her being pole, from her expelling the zera, is because she's making contact with the zera as it's being expelled.
What's the difference?
Now, yeah, I'm glad you asked. The Gemara says, nafkamina. Now, it's not just that we are conceptualizing, but there are going to be practical differences, three in total. Number one, listor. Number one, she wants to count her shiv nikiyim. She wants to count her shiv nikiyim. Now, we know that in order to count shiv nikiyim, it has to be 7 clean days, which means that if she is a zava gadola, where she saw for 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva. So in order for her to become Tahara, she has to count 7 clean days. 7 clean days means that not during those days can she have a discharge of blood. That we know. What if she has a discharge of Zera? Now, the this case, we already discussed this before, but the scenario is extraordinarily unusual because in order for her to have a discharge of Zera, that means that the Zera was deposited in her. By her husband. But even by her husband, the husband's having relations with her at a time when he's not allowed to have relations with her. Right? She is a zava, and a man cannot be with a woman when she's a zava. So that part is admittedly unusual. Rashi already dealt with this earlier in the Masechta, and Rashi just simply said it was wrong, the husband and wife having relations. It was wrong. It was usur for them to have relations with one another. Fine, we're past that point, meaning that was wrong, and the discussion over here is only regarding her ability to count Shiv Nakim. Fine. Anyway, number one, Nafkamina number one, Listor. So, if we're calling it a discharge, if we're calling it a Riyah, so that is now going to upset her Shiv Nakim, because Rishiv Nikim demands that she's not allowed to have a discharge, an internal discharge during the Rishiv Nikim. If the Zera now is basically considered like an internal discharge, so now that will be a Soser. That will knock out her Rishiv Nikim. She's going to have to, after the Stira, she's going to have to now start counting anew. That's Nafkamina number one. Number two, Nafkamina number two. Latame b'mashihu. I'm sorry. Let me just go back to the first Nafkamina and just spell out the other side. If it's just Tumas not Maga, where she came into contact with the Zera, that's not going to be Soser. Why? Because consider, Rishiv Nikim means that it has to be clean days from having a discharge. If any other tumah were to come into contact with her, that doesn't affect. That's not going to adversely affect her Shiv Nikiyam, right? She touches the sheretz while she's counting Shiv Nikiyam. Okay, she's tummy tumah sheretz, but that doesn't affect her Shiv Nikiyam. Shiv Nikiyam just simply means that she's clean from having a discharge. So if this is just considered an external tumah coming into contact with her, that's not going to be soser. Nafkamina number two, tummy b'mashu. How much zera needs to come out of her? So. If we're describing this as a re'iyah, so what do we know regarding the halachas of re'iyah? We said this already from day one of the Masechta. A discharge of blood that comes out of a woman that's going to make her a nida is a mashahu. It's any amount. Because the tumah is not, the tumah is not because she has a davar tummy coming out of her, although the blood is a davar tummy, but it's because she's having a discharge. It's her experience of a discharge that makes her tumeya. So if the zera is now considered something internal to her, and it's a re'iyah, it's a discharge, so therefore there's no shear. How much zera needs to come out of her, for her to be tumeya? The answer is any amount. If, however, it's tumas maga, so her tumah is coming as a result of the fact that she's touching a davar tameh. Well, there you need a shear. We say this all the time. Sheretz ke'adasha, etzem ke'seora, nevela ke'zayas, mace ke'zayas. So there's always a shear when we're talking about a davar tameh. So here, if it's a maga, not re'iyah, so then you need an amount of zera. You may wonder, you should wonder, how much is an amount? What's the shear? So we're going to see that actually in tomorrow's daf. Rashi over here happens to quote it. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf what the shear would be. And nafkamina number three, ulatame bifnim kebechutz. When does she become tameya? Now again, it's going to be the same nafkamina. If the zera is considered now an internal part of her, and her discharging of it is considered a riyah, so when is a woman going to be tameya? The answer is going to be the moment it leaves the uterus and enters into the canal, right? As long as it touches the buster, but here the interior buster, even if it's interior to the canal. However, if it's maga, so we all know the halachas of maga. Maga only makes somebody tamei when it touches an exterior portion of their body, not an interior portion of the body. And so therefore, if we're calling it now a maga, not a re'iyah, so then it's only going to be tummy once it emerges, but not when it's interior inner canal. These are going to be the three nafkaminas that were posed to Abaye. Now, manafshach. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. You remember where we started this morning? Where we had a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon in a Ibraisa that had a debate in terms of when the Zera leaves her body, when does she become tummy? When it's interior or when it's exterior? And it's a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Now, Abaye, when he hears the question, basically Abaye's response is, do you not know the Braisa, where we started this morning? So, Gemara says, Min manafshach, ish mi alei mas nisin, l'rabanan roa havia, l'reb shimon ogas havia. If you know the Braisa, that's just simply the machlokas in the Braisa. According to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, when does she become Tamea? When it's interior, because the Tanakhama is holding its re'iyah. And what does Rabbi Shimon say? No, only when it leaves her body, because Rabbi Shimon holds that it's negia, it's maga. That's exactly the machlokas. And v'ilosh mi'alei mas nisan. Now let's assume you don't know the brisa. Now again, as we discussed many times, Amoraim, it could be Amoraim didn't know brisas. Mishnayos, everybody knew, right? In the yeshivas in Bavel, they knew every mishnah. Brisas, possible that he didn't know it. Okay, so you didn't know the brisa. So then, if you don't know the brisa, so then you're trying to resolve the question based on svara. What would the svara dictate? So mistabra, nogasi. If you ask me, I would say it's not me, but Abaye me. So if you ask me, it's maga. And why? And Rashi over here writes, because it's not internally generated. That which is a re'iyah is something that's internally generated. Dam that comes out of our body is internally generated. That's a re'iyah. But over here it's zera, which is not internally generated, was deposited by a man. And so therefore, if I'm going to say that I'm going to say a svara, I'd say maga. I wouldn't say that it's a riyam. Okay. That is Abaye's just lack of understanding of either you know the Braisa, so it's a machlokas tanaim, or you don't know the Braisa, and now you have to come up with a svara, and the svara hamuchreches is that it's a maga, not riyah. Answers the Gemara, la'olam shmi'alei masnisa. He knew the Braisa, right? The one who posed the question to Abaye. Right? Let me give attribution, proper attribution. It's Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel bar Bisna. He knew the Braisa. Va'alibad the Rabban lo kami ba'alei. And according to the Chachamim, he knows that according to the Chachamim, it's a riyah. The Chachamim say that she is Tamea the moment it enters into her canal. So it's a Re'iyah. So Kikami Baile Libra the Rabbi Shimon. So the question is within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Ulatame Bifnim Kibachutz Lokami Baile Kikami Baile Listor. Ulatame Bechoshu Mai. So, and here is the question. So the question of Rav Shmuel Bar Bisnei is a nuanced question only within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. I'll read the Gemara and I'll explain. Kikama Rabbi Shimon Dai Kabola Hani Mila Latmuy Bifnim Kibachut. Aval Listor Ulatame Bechoshu Roa Havio Dilma Loshna. Look. According to Rabbi Shimon, here's what we know. We read in the beginning of this morning's Braisa. We know that according to Rabbi Shimon, her discharge, her expelling the zera from her body, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not going to make her tamea until it actually exits the body, until it emerges. Fine. That we know. Now, is Rabbi Shimon saying that because either A, I'll give you our two possibilities. A, because Rabbi Shimon says that this is maga. It's tumas maga. And so therefore, that is a fundamental position, and this is just but an example of the fundamental position that it's maga. And so therefore, all the other nafkaminas will go along with it. So if it's maga, so A, we already know that she's not tamei until it actually exits her body. B, you need a shear, because it's maga. And C, is that the it'll be so ser, I'm sorry, it won't be so ser, her shiv nekiyam. That's one possibility. What's the other possibility? So the Gemara, I know I read it quickly, but the Gemara basically outlines the other possibility is that no, Rabbi Shimon fundamentally agrees with the Chachamim, that it's a Re'iyah. It just happens to be that on this particular halacha of when she becomes Tamea, he disagrees with the Tanakam and he feels that she only becomes Tamea when it actually emerges her body, even though it's a Re'iyah. Well, why? Meaning, if he feels that it's a Re'iyah, so it'll be Sosur Shiv Nekiyam, it will be, you don't need a Shear. So why would he disagree on the third point of when she becomes Tamea? But we already know the answer. He said so in the Braisa. Because even though it's a Riya, it should be no different when the Zera leaves her body as when the Zera leaves his body. When the Zera leaves his body, that's a Riya, but he's only going to become Tamei when it actually emerges. So the same thing is true regarding her as well. So either within Rabbi Shimon, it could be that he fundamentally disagrees with the Chachamim, and he feels that this is Tumas Maga na Re'iya, or no, he fundamentally agrees with the Chachamim that it's really a Re'iya. It's just on this particular prat, he disagrees with the Tanakama. That's your two possibilities. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Ikedarmi, we have another version. Lo'olam lo shmi'alei masnisa. It could be that Rav Shmuel bar Bisnei, when he went to Abaye and posed the question to Abaye, he doesn't know the Braisa. Look, he didn't know the Braisa. It's now a Svara question, and here's his thought process. The Abal Keri by Sinai, right? We know that by Sinai, men and women had to abstain before having Ma'amad Har Sinai. Before revelation, national revelation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to the entire Bnei Yisrael, and so therefore they have to be in a state of Tahara. So, in order to be in a state of Tahara, husbands and wife have to abstain from relations, and 3 days prior to Ma'amad Har Sinai, okay, Gemara and Shabbos, right, the one you raised earlier. So so that means to say now that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Machmer Nabal Keri, and so therefore we must say that they are that this is a Riya. It's a discharge. Now, if it were just that they have to abstain, that in of itself just tells us about the actual discharge of the man. The fact that they had to abstain 3 days prior to Ma'amad Har Sinai, that tells us that the woman having a discharge also would have prevented her from experiencing divine revelation. So that means to say now that the 3 days is in response to her expelling the Zera. That means now, this is a svara, that on one end you can see, obviously it's a re'iyah. If it were just a maga, so then what? It sounds like from the Gemara That you wouldn't need to wait 3 days. It, or it wouldn't preclude the ability to have to experience the Hashra Shechina of Ma'amad Har Sinai. That's all one way to look at it. Odilma, lo garmina misina dechidashu. Da'azav mitzarayim dechamira velo achmar v'rachmana. On the other hand, however, we could say that Ma'amad Har Sinai is not going to be a good case study. It doesn't serve as a model. Consider, at Ma'amad Har Sinai, the only tuma that was that Akash Baruch Hu was looking to ban and prevent was almost the Tumas Balkeri and the Polet to Shech Vazera. But let's say Zav, let's say Mitzora, Akash Baruch Hu had no concern regarding that. If somebody was a Mitzora from Ma'amad Har Sinai, that would have been okay. So it could very well be that this is not going to be a good case study. It's not going to be a model, a prototypical example, because you see it's unusual. So that is the question that was posed to Abaye. What was Abaye's response? Amalei roa havia. And Abaye says that the paleta shech vazer is a ri'ya. It's a discharge. Asa shele rav amalei roa havia. And now he takes this question and he peddles the question around from gadol to gadol. So he went to Abaye, the woman having an expelling of the zera. What is she? So Abaye's response was roa. He went to Rava. Rava's response, roa. Asa lekamed to Rav Yosef amalei roa havia. So, and he went to Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, Roa. Okay, so good. So the Gedolei Yisrael living at that time, they all said, Roa. Hadassah kamed Abaye, Amrlei kucha baroka chada tafisu. So he went to Abaye, and he went back to Abaye, and he said, look, I'm hearing the same thing from everybody. It's the same spit coming out of everybody's mouth. It's a strange expression, admittedly. And I don't know the full tone of the expression, meaning he was saying it as impressed, he was saying it as I'm not fully satisfied with the answer, but I'm getting the same answer from everybody.
What did you expect?
Good, but they also disagree. We know they're cholik on each other every now and then.
No.
Okay, fine, on occasion. Okay, good. So Amalei Shapi Amalach Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Shimon Daya Kabbalah Elatam Bebifnin Kebuchutz. So they said, look, Rabbi Shimon says Daya Kabbalah. That position, Rabbi Shimon, and now we're going to go back to the Braisa, and we get to wrap up the Sugya, our first Sugya of the morning. That position, Rabbi Shimon, that is not a fundamental position, but rather, it's just unique to that particular halacha. Just like a man is not going to be tameh until the zera emerges from his body, the woman is not going to be tameh until the zera actually emerges from her body. However, that doesn't mean that she is it's tumas maga, it just simply is a detail. But this is the only departure from the regular halachas of Re'iyah, as far as the other halachas are concerned. Ella, latame bifnin kebuchutz. I'm sorry. Lo kamar Rishim and Dai Kabola, latame bifnin kebuchutz. Aval listor. Ulatame bechoshu, roa havia. But as far as the other nafkamins are concerned, how much zera needs to come out of her? Amashahu. Is it going to be so as to Rishim and Akiyim? Yes, it will be. So as far as that halacha is concerned, Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Chachamim that she is a Rawa. So this is the second version of how we're saying it over. So in the second version, we have a more definitive conclusion, which is a woman who is discharging, expelling Zera that was deposited inside of her. So she is considered a Rawa. And the only point of dispute that we have regarding the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is when is she going to be considered a roa? According to the Tanakama, we're treating it like every other flow that comes out of her body. The blood that comes out of her body, she becomes tameah when it hits the canal, even before it exits. So the same thing is true regarding the zera. According to Rabbi Shimon, no. That even though fundamentally Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Chacham and she's a roa, but in this particular halacha, she only is going to be a tameah when it actually leaves her body. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end, and the conclusion is a Poleta Shech Vazera is a Roa. A lot of practical application of halacha. Just mention it. It's not. It's a shir in of itself. Just one second. So the so that means to say that our women nowadays bizmanenu. We're going to see this at the end of the Masechta, right? We learn Masechta Nida, and we walk away with a lot of ideas. But in terms of halacha lamaisa, so everything changes based on a chumra of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says that our women, whenever they see any blood, even a kol shehu, so they are to be treated like a zava gadola, which means that they need to count shiv nekiyim. Fine, and that's the halacha. The halacha is the halacha psuka and gemura. The Gemara in Brachas describes it as a halacha where there is no deliberation, there's no debate. So our women are considered a zava gadola, and with any discharge of blood that they see, so that means that they need to count shiv nekiyim. When can they start counting the shiv nekiyim? Okay, so We also know that in order to count Shiva Nikiyim, it has to be clean from any type of discharge. Obviously, if she's bleeding, she can't start counting Shiva Nikiyim. Okay, an obvious point. But a less obvious point, but a clear conclusion from the Gemara, is that even if she's Polata Shechva Zera, she can't start counting. So even if she had a cessation of bleeding, she still would be prohibited from starting her count until she finishes discharging her Zera. How long does it take to finish her discharging her Zera? So it takes 3 days. Now, in terms of the halacha, this is a part that I'm not going to get into, but it's important, and that the halacha psuka, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is to wait 4 days. The Ramah has a chumra for the Ashkenazim to wait 5 days before she starts counting her Shiva Nikiyim. Fine. All this needs to be discussed in much more detail. This is not just simply not the venue, but all that comes from the Gemara's conclusion right here. I'm sorry, Danny.
Just a little question.
Right? Okay, good. And what you're saying is just complimenting. What you're saying is complimenting the Gemara, meaning the Gemara says that it's clearly an unusual circumstance, and we can't walk away with any kind of generational halachas from that event.
So at the time of Beit HaMikdash, when they had cohabitation, then for 3 days they would not touch the
Truma.
She wouldn't touch the Truma for 3 days.
She can't eat it. She can't touch it. Correct.
She cannot handle it.
Right. Exactly. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we are second half of today's daf. We start with a b'risa. We're towards the bottom of Membez Amud Aleph. The b'risa says, "I need a vazava for shemeres yom kenegi yom va'yoledes kulam metamus b'mifnin kebechutz." So, this halacha that a woman will be tame when the right now I'll call it a flow, but you'll see it's going to include other things other than just a flow. But when the flow enters into her canal, so she will be tameya mibifnim kebechutz. Even though it hasn't actually exited her body, even though it is only within the canal of her body, nevertheless, she will be Tameya. Now, of the things that we listed over here, so the Nida, the Zava, the Shemer Yom Keneged Yom, those are all flows. Yoledes, that's a baby. What is that describing? Bishlam Akulo Lechaye. So the other flows that we mentioned in the Braisa, I understand. Ella Yoledes. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here, the Yoledes? And the Gemara right now can't fathom that we're talking about the actual baby, even though in just a couple minutes from now, we will. But right now, the Gemara cannot fathom that. The Gemara is right now assuming that we're talking about some blood that comes out together with the baby. So the Gemara says, the blood comes out with the baby, I'll tell you what she is. She's either going to be a Nida or she'll be a Zava. And depending on which Yamim she's in, is she in Yamei Nida or she Yamei Ziva? The Gemara says, Ibi Mei Nida, Nida, Ibi Mei Ziva, Ziva. Okay, what are you talking about when you're saying Yoledes? So Lo Tzricha Shiyarda Litvol Mitumas LaTahara. Ah, so the Gemara now attempts to give the following scenario for the Yoledes. We're not talking about the time of birth. We're talking about postpartum. So she had a baby, and let's say she had a girl. So we know the halacha. We've said it over many times. So for the first 14 days she is Tameya, and the next 66 days she's Tahara. But as we also learned, she has to tovel the mikvah between the Yemei Tumah to the Yemei Tara. So on the eve of the 15th day, she tovels in the mikvah in order to make that change between being Tameh to Dam Tahor. And remember also what we learned, the machlokus between Rav and Levi, whether it's Mayan Echad, whether it's Shtei Mayanos. Rav said it was Mayan Echad, Levi said it was Shtei Mayanos. Okay, but anyway, the Gemara says that's what the Braisa here is describing when it says the Yoledes. Now the Gemara says, but we still need more explanation. Vichi Had Amri Rabbi Zera, sorry, Litvol Tumah LaTahara. V'chi had Amri Rabbi Zera, sorry, Amri Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amri Rabbi Yoledes Yard, Litvol Mitumah LaTahara. So here we're describing the following scenario. So she's now toveling in the mikvah, transitioning from the Yemei Tumah to the Yemei Tahara. V'nekar Mimenu Dam B'Yerida Tameya Be'Aliyah Tahara. And now blood comes out of her. So before she toveled in the mikvah, so that's Dam Tameh. And she's Tameya. After she told them the mikvah, that's Dam Tahor, and therefore she's Tahora. That is right now what the Gemara is suggesting. Let's just first go with the Shakla Vitarya, because the Gemara itself is going to be bothered. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera B'Yerida Amai Tameya Tumabaluahi. I don't understand. This Dam is interior, it's inside of her. So this is what's called Tumabaluahi. And I don't understand, says the Gemara. Even as she goes down to the mikvah to tovel, if the blood hasn't emerged from her, isn't this considered tumah baluah? Now, Rashi over here is addressing something that hopefully would bother all of us. Rashi, on the bottom, Tumah Baluahi, I'm reading the Rashi, V'kaimalam Beperek Behema Makasha, Tumah Baluah, Inam Atamalo Bemagavalam Bemasa. So something that's been established back in Chulin is that when you have Tumah that's absorbed in the body, that's interior to the body, so it's not going to be a source of Tumah. V'hacha HaTumah Baluahi. Now, this blood that was interior to our body is considered Tumah Baluahi. Now, Rashi is bothered by, wait one second. Every time a woman's anida and the blood's inside of her, why don't we call that Tumah Balua? Rashi writes, V'lo dami l'chol nashim shematamas bebeis achitzon. Don't compare this to your standard woman who has a menstrual flow. Da'asa mishum re'iyah. Now take out the next word. Da'asa mishum re'iyahi. So that's a discharge. That's different. V'tumah shiva v'rachmana amar bibsara. Michiasa bebeis achitzon. Havya re'iyah. And as far as defining a re'iyah, a discharge, well, we already saw it in the first half of today's daf. And Rashi punctuates the point that as far as the re'iyah is concerned, the Torah is mechadesh, that a woman is going to be tamei in the beis achitzon, even though it's interior. Over here, what are we talking about? She is now after the Yemei Tumah. She started the Yemei Tahara. She just hasn't tovel the mikvah yet. Fine. So that means that that blood inside of her is a discharge? No, it's not discharge. It just happens to be that right now she is carrying the tamei dam that she had inside of her when she was in her yemei tumah. V'tumas erev. I'm sorry. V'nagihi. V'tumas erev. Di'imi shem re'iya me'esmol i'aker ome esmol havi re'iya v'riyid me'esmol loma hanya lahaidna. Look, it's true that it came out yesterday, yesterday is not today. Mm-hmm. And as far as today is concerned, the only thing that she is doing is carrying the dam tame, but she's not discharging the dam tame. De me esma havala yemei tumah v'hasha havala yemei tohar v'tumah b'lua lo matamya b'magav amasa. Okay, it's a really important Rashi, and I don't want this Rashi to miss us. Mm-hmm. Meaning, so this question now of she is post Yemei Tumah, still carrying some blood from the Yemei Tumah, but it's no longer called a Re'iyah, it's now called Maga Masa. Mm. But because it's inside of her, Maga Umasa is not going to be Tame with Tumah Blua. With all that stated, now we go back to the Gemara, and now we can totally appreciate the Gemara's point. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeir, I'm rereading the last point of the Gemara. B'yirida Amai Tameya, Tumah Blua Hi. So she's going down to the mikvah to tovel. Okay, you're telling me that she's tamea. I'm telling you she isn't, because again, it's not discharge. She's just carrying the blood, but it's inside of her, so she's tahora. I'm really zil shayla Rabbi Avin de asbrei niyale. So he says, you know what? It's a good question. Go ask Rabbi Avin. He'll explain it to you. V'charchish lebereshe, and he nodded his head. Okay. So bereish be midrasha azul shayla, and he asked him. I'm really asu kinevlas of tar. So he gives him an answer, and the answer sounds like this. You know, when you swallow, when you ingest a kezias of the carcass of a kosher bird that didn't receive a proper shechita, this is what's called tumas niflas of tahor. The transmission of tumah from the carcass of a bird, kosher bird, but didn't receive a shechita. Now we know, when does a person become tummy? So this is the most unusual form of transmission. It's not maga, it's not masa, it's not ol. It's swallowing. Swallowing the meat of this bird. So, midam, the Gemara says, that's an answer? That's not an answer. The Gemara, he responds. We're in the top of the next amud. Hasamein latuma b'chutz. Hachikinafik lebra litame. I can't compare the two. When it comes to the ingesting of the meat of the bird, so that is tumah that goes in and never comes out. Over here, we're talking about the blood that's going to emerge. So, and I understand that right now, currently, it's interior. Fine, but it's going to leave. And why don't we just simply say that it becomes tummy when it leaves, not now? So, ki nafik lebra litame hachanami kishi yasa lechutz. So, I yasa lechutz my lememra, mao detema. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Kishi yasa lechutz. So his response is, you're right. You're right. In terms of the tumah is going to be metame her when it leaves. To which the Gemara says, "Iyasa lechutz my lememra." Okay. So now, where's the chiddush? So the blood that was she was holding inside of her from her Yemei Tuma now emerges from her body. So the Gemara says, okay. So Amau Detem Amigo Demahane Tefila Adam Teika Gavai Taninam Lahai Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, well, look, we know that the Tefila is going to help her, meaning she tovels now as she is in her Yemei Tovar. That Tefila is going to help her for any blood from this point going forward. So maybe it will not only help her for that blood, but it will also help her for the blood that already discharged from her Yemei Tuma. I might have thought that. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, no. Okay. So Shmaita Nifrit. So the Gemara says, fine. So now we have some sort of resolution in terms of the members of the Amoraim. Ella Yoledes, but let's go back to the original Braisa. The Braisa says that during her Yoledes, she is going to be Tamea Kibifnim Kibichutz. Interior just like an exterior. And now the Gemara's question over here is really simple. Good. You resolved all the difficulties that we said amongst the Amoraim. Right, the statement to Rabbi Zeira and the back and forth between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeira, all that's been resolved. But the Braisa, you haven't said shot in the Braisa. What are we talking about when it comes to the Yoledes? The Ibime Nida Nida Ibime Ziva Ziva. And again, blood that's coming out while she's giving birth, you know what that blood is? It could either be Nida blood or Ziva blood. So Hakamai Skin and Beleda Yavishta. So the Gemara says that it's an unusual birth that came out, and there were no fluids that came out with the baby. I know, unusual, I understand that, but the point the Gemara wants to make is that the tumah that we're describing over here is not tumah associated with the bleeding. So later Yavishta may matam bifnim kebechutz. So ika. So what exactly are we talking about if the only tumah that we're taking into consideration is the actual baby? So the Gemara says, oh, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the actual tumah of the baby. And what we are discussing over here is when exactly is the birth going to be metame the mother? So Ravoshia made a comment back in Chulin. Rashi over here gives us the background. The Gemara in Chulin. Rashi goes through it all. I'm saying it outside. I'm saying it quickly. The midwife puts her hand inside of the mother and touches the baby, which Rachmanis was a stillborn. And it was, and its life was terminated in utero. And so now it's a mace, but it's interior to the mother. So what does the Mishnah say over there? The mother is Tahora. The Chayu put her hand in and touches it. The Chayu is going to be, the midwife is going to be Tame. Well, and the Gemara over there says, why? Why is she going to be Tame? It's Tama Balua. And the answer the Gemara gives over there is that Midah Raisa, she's Tahora. It's Xerah Derabanan because we're concerned that the baby's head has emerged. And so therefore it was born. And then the Gemara over there says, well, if we're making Gzera for the midwife, why aren't we making Gzera for the mother as well? Anyway, see the Gemara in Chulin over there. Our Gemara over here, Gzera Shami Yosei Avlad Rosh Chutz Apruzer, V'chiyahu Da'asla Kamed Rava, and the Gemara now points out that this Gzera of maybe the baby emerged its head out, so this was also a discussion regarding someone who approached Rava. Amalei Ma'ala Mimel B'Shabasa. Now the person asked Rav Shaila, do we do a bris mila on Shabbos? Meaning baby's born on Shabbos, do we do the bris on Shabbos? And Amarle Shapir Dami, and Rav said, interesting Shaila, yes. Yes, if the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, you do the bris on Shabbos. And Basar Danafik Amar Rava. And after the guy left, Rav thinks to himself, like that couldn't have been a Shaila. That's not a Shaila. That's a very straightforward halacha. So Saka Dachadahu Gavar Lo Yada Deshar Lemimah B'Shabasa, could it possibly be that this person doesn't know that you do meal on Shabbos? So Azo Basre Amalei, Emily Izigufa Davda Heichahava. And he runs over to the guy and he says, you got to give me more details. There's got to be more to the question. Amalei Shamas Vlad Ditzios Apanya Demali Shabbasa Velo Isyale Da Shabbasa. He says, oh, you want more details? I'll give you more details. And here comes important details. And that is that the baby was coming out on Erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos. We heard the screaming of the baby before Shabbos started, but the birth didn't occur until Shabbos. Oh, so Rava says, that's an important detail that you left out in the question. So Rava's response is, I'm glad you filled me in on those details. If you heard screaming, that means that the head emerged from the mother. Once the head emerged from the mother, that's considered a leida. And as a result of that, consequently, this is not a mila. This is not a birth on Shabbos. Therefore, the only allowance to do mila b'Shabbos is if we know definitively that the baby was born on Shabbos. But this is obviously a baby that was born on Friday. Shabbos now is not 8 days later, but 9 days later. This is what's called mila shelo bizmana, Mila shelo bizmana is not docha Shabbos. Good. So now all this brings us back to, now we have at least a pshat in the Braisa. When the Braisa talks about the Yoledis, where the tumas mibifnim kibachutz, what we now mean to say is that we're talking about the emergence of the head of the baby. And once it enters into the prizdor, so at that point in time, it's considered a birth, and the mother is now matami tumas leida. That's the pshat in the Braisa. E by lehu. A little bit more for this morning. Now, the canal of the woman, is it balu or is it beis astarim? Now, we dealt with a number of conceptual issues today. Here comes our final conceptual issue of the day. We know that it's not an exterior portion of her body. That's a given. We also know that when a internally generated blood goes into that area, she is tamea. But still, vis-a-vis the category, the status of her prosdor, is it considered balua, totally absorbed and interior to her body, or is it just considered beis astarim, kind of like a folded area of her body, but also not external? Now, in both ways that we just said it, we all agree it's not an exterior and external part of her body. It's not an exterior portion of her body. We just want to know how interior are we talking about, balua or beis astarim. Now, you have to wonder, what's the difference? So, l'may nafka mina kigon she tachvala chaverta kazayis nevela bosa makam. So the Gemara says, let's say the nevela was inserted into that area. Now, nevela is metame b'mago v'masa. Now, contact, so contact with a source of tuma only is where it makes contact with an exterior portion of your body. So as far as maga is concerned, we rule that out. On the other hand, masa, carrying. So when you're carrying, when you're carrying an avatoma like nevela, are you going to be tame? So here's going to be our nafkamina. If the area is considered tuma balua, carrying is not going to be a conveyor of tuma, right? We know this, meaning look at the case that we just went through, where the woman was carrying a mace inside of her, rachmanis. A woman's carrying a mace inside of her. She's not tamea. Why? Because the uterus is obviously balua, and the baby inside the uterus is obviously balua. So it's not going to be metame b'mago v'masa. But if the canal area is just considered a beis astarim, it's like a folded area of her body. So in terms of maga, that's not considered contact. In terms of masa, it is considered like she's carrying the item. So, and the Gemara now basically is going to articulate the nafkamina was as we just stated it. Iamar balua have tuma balua lamatamin viamar beis astarim have nehid b'maga lamatamia b'masa miyamatamia. So the Gemara says this is going to be the nafkamina as how we gauge the area of the prizdor. Is it a tuma balua or is it considered beis astarim? And the Gemara brings it down as a machlokus. Abayamar balua have a rava amar beis astarim have a. So Abai says that it's considered balua. Rava says it's a beis astarim. That means that according to Rava, so if a nevela, if something like a nevela was inserted in that area, she would be tame, not through maga, but through masa. Amar Rava mina minala detanya. Let's do this. Detanya. Ela mimnesha tuma beis astarim hi v'tuma beis astarim lamatamya ela shegzeres hakasuv hi. So the Rava says, look, it's the Braisa that we quoted. We already quoted once this morning. We're going to quote it now again. The Braisa says, Beferish, that it's considered a beis astarim, not an area of balua. So, Abaye, now what is Abaye going to do in terms of reading that Braisa? Abaye says, I'll read the Braisa, the way, but conforming to my viewpoint, and meaning I could defend my position. What the Braisa is telling us is, I'll say a chiddush, I'll say even another chiddush. Chana de tuma blua hi. First of all, the area of the prosdor is the tuma blua. So, nothing to discuss. Vaoda filu im timsa lama tuma beis astarim hi. And all the Braisa is doing is entertaining the idea that, okay, it's not balua, it's beis astarim. So, ena matame elo shegzeres hakosav hi. Still, it's not going to be, that's not the reason why it's tamei, meaning the woman had relations with her husband. It's just simply gzeres hakosav. The Torah just simply says that a woman has relations with her husband is tamea. But the Braisa didn't mean to define what the prosdor is. Yeah. The Braisa is just simply saying it's balua, and even if you'll tell me it's the beis astarim, still that has nothing to do with the halacha of tashmish. It's exeris hakasuf. Okay, let's quickly recap. Okay, our big discussion today was regarding pelata shekva zera, a woman who is expelling the zera after deposit inside of her. So, when does she become tamei exactly? Bifnim kebechutz machlokas tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. And then the fundamental question, which the Gemara poses, when she expels it, is that a tuma of riyah? Is that considered discharge? Or is that, no, in other words, it's not something that is internally generated. It was something that was deposited inside of her. And so therefore, this is Tumas Maga. So the Gemara has two versions of how to discuss this point. The Gemara's conclusion seems to be that it's a Re'iyah. And it is considered considered like an internally discharged, it's an internal discharge type of Tumah. And so consequently, the woman is going to be Tameh. Kibifnim kibichutz, and also it'll be soster shivanakim, and it and there's no shear. There doesn't need to be a shear. That's the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, more on the topic of a woman being a tameya when it, not when it exits, but even just as it enters into the prosdar. It's true by a nida. It's true by zava. It's true by a shomer yom keneged yom, and it's true also by yoledes. What exactly are we talking about regarding yoledes? The Gemara took some time to get to a conclusion, but the Gemara's conclusion is it means the actual birth of the baby. And when the head enters into the prosdor, already that's considered a leida. Our final discussion for today is the area, the creased area, the canal area of the woman. Is it considered a balua area, totally impervious to tuma, not maga or masa, or is it considered just simply a basis starm, a folded area of the body, which is not subject to maga, but is eligible for masa? The Gemara asks that question, ends up being a machlokes d'Abaye and Rava. Rava's conclusion is that it is considered a basis starm, only a folded area, not a totally interior area.